Luke 8, verse 35. Let's read the Word of God together, please. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus, and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with them. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way, and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman, having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse number 44, and we know God will bless the word to our hearts for his name's sake. Let's again unite our hearts in prayer. Take a moment. Ask the Lord to speak to your heart this morning. Ask him to speak to you, that you might know a touch, that you might know a word to your heart, that you might hear the Lord, hear the Lord's voice. That is of vital importance as we come to the public worship of the Lord, that you hear his voice. So let's all pray to that end, that the Lord will speak through divine truth as he has promised. Almighty God and Father in heaven, reverently and humbly we come before thy throne again in Jesus' name. And we thank thee that thou hast promised, where two and three are gathered together in thy name, thou will be in the midst. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast promised to bless thy word and the preaching of it. And we pray, O God, that right now there'll be a hush of eternity come across this meeting. We pray for the coming down of the Lord. We pray that the Holy Ghost will move among us in power. We pray, O Father in heaven, that you'll purge the very atmosphere in the sacred blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. O God, we cry to thee, remember us in heaven, thy dwelling place. And Lord, I confess before thee and before this congregation my complete inadequacy to deal with what is before me now in this meeting. I cast myself upon thee. I thank thee that thou hast promised, certainly I will be with thee. And Lord, I claim that promise now for myself and for this people. Lord, be with us here this morning. Empty me now of self and sin and anything that will hinder in this meeting. Wash me completely in Jesus' blood. And fill me now with the Holy Ghost and with power, that the word might come with power and freshness to every heart. Lord, bless thy people. Restore the backslider. Save the lost. Glorify thy Son. And bind every power of darkness, that Christ's great name will be worshipped and adored. We pray this for Jesus' sake and for God's eternal praise. Amen. Amen. The last Sunday morning that I was with you speaking from this pulpit, I spoke on some signs of the Lord moving, or some signs of the movings of the Lord. It was a subject that I took from the parallel chapter over in Matthew chapter 8, to this portion that we have read here this morning. That day, from Matthew's account, Matthew 8, we saw how when the Lord's moving, he gives a clear word. We saw that he guides his people through fierce opposition. It's all the result of the Lord moving. And that the Lord will reach the lost and save them. As you remember, I'm sure, in Matthew 8, we saw that the Lord gave the clear word to cross the sea to his disciples. As they sought to obey the Lord, they got engulfed in a storm in the midst of the sea to stop them crossing to the far side. The Lord took them through it. All that the devil threw at them, all the resistance of hell, the Lord was there He took them through it. They got to the other side, and the result was that two men were gloriously saved and set free and born from above. What a hope that gives us all as we gather here this morning. No soul too hard for the Lord to save. No sinner too far down, but Christ can reach them. We saw the signs of the movings of the Lord, and what a thrill it was to my own heart as I looked at it. But we also noticed in closing that day that despite the great things that the Lord had done, despite saving those two men and changing them forever, the people desired that he would leave them. It was an amazing scene. They desired that Christ would go away. But today, following on from that, I want to look with you at Luke chapter 8. As you know, we've already relived that scene as we read the scripture this morning. Verse 37 tells us they besought him to depart from them. Luke 8, verse 37. But it wasn't like that when he returned to the far side. It wasn't like that when he came back across the sea, because look with me at verse number 40. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. They were all waiting for him. Oh yes, there were a people on the other shore that didn't want the Lord. They didn't want him anymore. They didn't want him about. But here were a people in verse 40, and it says, and it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. That's what I want to speak on today. Three simple points. Waiting on the Lord to come. I'm not speaking about eschatology. I'm not speaking about his second coming. I'm thinking more in the lines of waiting on the Lord to visit us. Waiting on the Lord to come and bless us. Waiting on the Lord to come. The first thing I want to show you from verse number 40 is this. Their wait was with expectancy. Their wait was with expectancy. Verse 40. It came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. You may say, what do I mean by expectancy? Well, we must be careful when we seek the Lord for blessing, when we seek the Lord in prayer, that we don't get up from that time of prayer with no expectancy. When we come to church and we hear the word preached and we come to the gospel meeting at night and Mr. Greer's preaching, we look for signs following the preaching of the word. That's the way we should live in our prayer lives. When we wait on the Lord over a subject or over a matter, we should then be looking for signs to follow that time of prayer. I think the thought is here in verse 40 that they waited and they watched for the Lord to come. And how we must watch and pray, as I have said, for signs following our praying. They knew where the Lord was. They knew that if the Lord was going to come and return back to them, he was going to come from the land of Gadara. There were certain things they didn't know. They knew he had gone in a boat. He would come back in a boat. But the thought is, here they're gathered. They're not going to miss out if the Lord comes. They were going to be present when the Lord returned. They weren't going to miss out on the Lord visiting. So they watched. They waited. They were in moments of expectancy. Can't you see them as you read that verse? Stand on the shore there of Galilee. I think we can see them gathered there watching, longing. Hearts looking out into that ocean, out into that sea. Hearts going for the Lord to come back across. Watching with expectancy. Watching, looking. Watching for the slightest sign of a ship appearing on the horizon. Watching for the slightest movement across that sea. Maybe noticing something across the waves. Is that the Lord? Is that the Lord making his way towards us? Is that the Lord coming? What a way to live. Watching with expectancy. There they're gathered. The banks of Galilee. Ordinary people. Looking across a lake. Watching for the Savior to come. When the Lord Jesus Christ gives a spirit of expectancy, it's that he's going to come. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings 18. The Lord gives this spirit of expectancy. Doesn't give it to everybody. All Capernaum weren't gathered in Galilee. But he gives it to some. There's some that wait. First Kings chapter 18, verse 42. Let's look at verse 41 to get the setting. And Elijah, here's the man of God, said unto Ahab, get thee up and eat and drink, for there's a sound of abundance of rain. You know the story. There's not even a cloud in the sky. But Elijah, he said there's a sound of abundance of rain. No sign, but Elijah senses the Lord's near. And he sends a servant to watch. Look on down the portion. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. This expectancy within the heart of Elijah, it causes him to pray. It causes him to pray more. Here's a man and there's a sense in his soul that the Lord's near. He goes and prays more. There's not even a cloud in that sky at that juncture. He has made the statement, there's a sound of abundance of rain. He's going to pray for the showers of blessing. You think of that for our congregation. Castle Gore begins next Sunday night. We have an evening meeting tonight. We don't even have to wait to Castle Gore. Or we can bring it right down to now. We're here now. As we gather, our hearts can go heavenward. Lord, visit this meeting. Intensify thy presence in this meeting. Come among us. Because you'll know your heart and I know mine. And that's what we need. There's not even a cloud in the sky here. Elijah says there's a sound of abundance of rain. He senses the Lord's near. Look at verse 44. And it came to pass at the 7th time, and he said that he said, behold, there riseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. It started off just a little cloud. Just a little cloud. But look at verse 45. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. Elijah senses the Lord's coming towards him. Blessing. He's in expectancy. He sends his servant to watch as he prays. And that's the way we're to watch. That's the way we're to live. We're to live with this expectancy, this longing in our hearts for the Lord to come. Turn with me to Psalm 68, verse 9. Psalm 68, verse 9. There's David penning these great words. Thou, O God, did send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. David had seen these days. What is the inheritance of the Lord? It's his church. It's his people. David said, thou, O God, did send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm, strengthen, help thine inheritance when it was weary. I think we all can say we live in weary days as a Christian. Hard days. But here's David. He says, thou, O God, send a plentiful rain to confirm thine inheritance when it's weary. Maybe I speak to one here this morning. And as an individual believer, you are weary. You haven't been getting it easy as a Christian. Wait before him. Ask him to come and strengthen you. He's done it time and time again. He did it with the disciples there in the resurrection morning. He sent word to them. He did it to the two on the road to Emmaus. They were sad. They were despondent. But the Lord drew alongside and he warmed their hearts. We're to wait with expectancy. Look at the assembly. They wait on the Lord to come. Let me ask a different way. Did you pray before you came to the Lord's house this morning? Lord, bless me today in your house. Did you come with expectancy? Or did you come because it was Sunday? And of course, it's right to be here because it's Sunday. It's the Sabbath. But did you come with that expectancy, that longing in your heart to leave this meeting different than you come into it? Touched by the Savior, to have him near. They waited with expectancy. Look at the word returned in Luke chapter 8. Look at the word returned, verse 40. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. That word returned, it gives a sense of the Lord coming to somewhere he had been before. Coming to somewhere where he had been before. And every time I read something like that, it thrills my heart. Because our country has known divine visitation before. That ought to fill us with humble thankfulness to God. There have been countries who have never known it. Divine visitation in the way that we have, but we have known it. And that word returned. He came to somewhere he had been before. Now, I know revival is a sovereign work of God. And I understand that. But I don't believe for 2 seconds, and I think you've heard me say this before, that we cannot hope and pray that God will turn our country back to God. If I didn't believe that that could happen, I would be in despair. I would be devastated. But I do believe it. Because God hasn't changed. God is the God of revival. God visits his people. God confirms his inheritance when it's weary. God comes and visits. Here are a people, ordinary people, standing in the banks of Galilee, waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord to come and visit them. Secondly, their wait wasn't only with expectancy. Their wait was with desire. Now it gets very challenging. It challenged me as I was preparing it. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Here were a people desiring to see the Lord, desiring to meet with him, desiring to commune with him. There's a man here, he needs his home affected. Jairus is here. There's a situation, his home needs attention. He's here, he's desiring the Savior. Desiring to have their own lives, receive something from the Lord, to change their lives. There's a woman with an issue of blood. She needs the Lord. They have this desire in their souls for the Lord to come. They wait with desire. They desire this communion, this touch, this. They desire to see him, this blessing. I'm sure Jairus is there, and he can't stop thinking about the situation in his home. And Lord, if only you'd come, it'll be sorted. And the woman with the issue of blood, she has tried everything. You read all her parallel portions, but she knows if the Lord comes, if Christ crosses that sea, if he comes and visits, it'll take care of a lot of things. It'll take care of a lot of situations in Capernaum. Now tell me this, as we see these ordinary folk gathered in Capernaum, and Galilee's shore, do you desire the Savior to come? And I'm not talking about the second coming. Do you desire divine visitation? Or have you lost out with God? Because if you have lost out with God, you'll not care less. Can you honestly look in your country and your town and its people and the land that our children are going to grow up in and not desire divine visitation? If you can, you have lost out with God big time. You have lost out with the Lord. You have lost all spiritual discernment. It's the sure sign you've grown cold. I don't condemn you. I know what it's like. We all have better days spiritually. But my friend, if you look in your country and you have no desire for the Lord to come, if it doesn't fill you with despair as you look at it, then you've lost out with the Lord. You've lost out with the Lord. They wait with the desire. If the Lord doesn't come, there's no hope for Jairus' daughter. If the Lord doesn't come, nothing's going to change that home. If the Lord doesn't come, there's no hope for the woman with the issue of blood. Now, is your desire this morning for Christ? Some people, it's happened so easy. Again, I say it lovingly, but they get so caught up in certain areas that they lose the desire for the Savior. Remember a young man praying one day, "Lord, don't ever let us lose the wonder of it all." We can get so caught up that we lose the wonder that God loved us, sent Christ to die for us, that when Christ was on the cross, he was there for me, and we lose the wonder of it. We forget who we were 2 days after we were saved. The joy of the Lord, it was all so simple. I'm saved. My sins are all forgiven. And sometimes we then make it all so complicated. And we lose the marvel. We lose the marvel of what it is to be a child of God. Remember hearing of a theologian. I don't remember who it was, but I heard about him in church history. And somebody asked him, "What's the greatest truth you've ever found in the Bible?" And the eyes filled with tears. And he said, "The greatest truth I've ever found is that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. That's the greatest truth I have ever found." And how we can fall into the trap of losing the wonder of it all. That Christ loved us. We lose the desire. Here's a multitude of men and women, ordinary people, gathered in the banks of the sea, desiring the Lord to come. Desiring the Lord to come. Turn with me to Exodus 25. Exodus chapter 25, verse 40. Or verse 10, sorry. Exodus 25, verse 10. The Lord Jesus tells us, you see, to keep our hearts with all diligence. For out of it's the issue of life. But look at Exodus 25, verse 10 with me. I brought this to the Bible class a while back. Verse 10, "And they shall make an ark of shittim wood, 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof, and thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, within and without shalt thou overlay it, and thou shalt make upon it a crown of gold round about." The Lord's given directions for the building of the tabernacle. You know that structure, the outer court, and then the inner sanctuary, and then into the Holy of Holies, and all the instruments, and all the vessels. But dear people, where did the Lord tell them to start? He told them to start with the ark. If you and I had built it, we would have started with the outer court, and then we'd have worked our way in, and we'd have worked our way to the center, and then we'd have been in the ark. The Lord says, start with the ark. He's given them direction. Set up the altar that speaks of communion with God, the special tokens of God's presence. The altar where the blood was sprinkled in the mercy seat speaks of propitiation, speaks of acceptance with God, speaks of satisfaction. That's what the Lord wants first. Heart religion. Heart religion. And that tells us something. That outward appearance means nothing if there's no heart religion. It means nothing. If there's not a heart for Christ, the exterior doesn't mean anything. Because the Lord, I'm not saying it's not important. There was the place, the outer court was to go on, certainly. But not before the heart religion. Not before the heart of it. The Lord says, begin with the altar and then work out. Begin with the altar. Get at central. Heart religion. That's what the Lord wants. Outward show. Without heart religion. It's nonsense. The Lord wants heart religion. Here's people gathered. They have a desire for the Lord. They have a desire for the Lord. But I want to show you something else. Go back with me to Luke chapter 8. their weight was with one accord. It came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. They were waiting for him. Different people, different backgrounds. Jairus is there. He's a leader in the synagogue. A woman with issue of blood's there. I'm sure there were different people from every part of that city, and they're gathered there. Matthew 8 tells us there's a sinner there. They brought him on his bed of sickness. His account adds that little truth. He's there. They're all gathered. They're all waiting for the Lord. Different people, different outlooks, different personalities, but one thing in common. They all desire Christ to visit. They all desire divine visitation. And we're here today and we are all different. It's a good job you're not all like me. I'll be a disaster. But we're all different. But we've all one aim. Divine visitation. What's the need of our country? Christ. What's the need of our homes? Christ. Backslider, dear friend, so glad to see you here. What's your need? Christ. Dear sinner, delighted you're here. What's your need? Christ. Christ. It's not religion. Jairus is there. He's the head of the synagogue. He can do nothing for his daughter. It's Christ. It's Christ. It's Christ we need. We're not gathered here onto a denomination this morning. We are a denomination, I understand that. We're gathered onto Christ. Onto Christ shall the gathering of the people be. We're at the bandstand on a Saturday to build Christ's church, to see men and women one for him. Onto him will the gathering of the people be. They're there with one accord. But I want to show you something else about their weight. It all ended in rejoicing. It all ended in rejoicing because it says, and it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Don't pass over those words, it came to pass. The wait ended. The wait ended. The Lord came. The thought is this, the Lord could have got into that boat and went to other parts of Galilee. But he went to where the people were waiting. He didn't disappoint them. The Lord doesn't tell us to seek him in vain. The Lord tells us it's no vain thing to wait upon the Lord. He said it's good for a man to both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord, for the Lord to come. He visited them. And there's joy in their hearts. They were taken up with Christ. Christ's presence filled their heart. Notice this. The Lord hasn't even spoken. He hasn't even done a miracle. He hasn't even dealt with Jairus' situation. He hasn't even dealt with the woman with the issue of blood. He hasn't preached. He has done nothing. He has just come, and their hearts are filled with gladness. Because that's what delights the heart of the saint, the nearness of the Lord. Just having him near, just sensing that he's with us, just sensing his presence. He hasn't even done one thing, and they've received him gladly. They're rejoicing. Christ has come because they know that now something will happen. Because where Christ is, something always happens. And dear people, where the Holy Ghost is poured out, first thing it does is this, it rejoices the hearts of God's people. And then the community feels the effects of it. If the Lord comes to Castle Gore in mighty power, if the Lord comes to this house today in mighty power, it will rejoice the hearts of his people and it will affect those who aren't his people. And the community will feel the effects of it. Divine visitation cannot take place without it affecting the community. We hear at times of, I was talking to somebody the other day in Scotland. He said to me, our church is having revival. Well, it's the strangest revival I ever seen or heard of because it hasn't affected the community one bit.
charismatic churches were having revival. My friend, when divine visitation takes place, it affects the community. Multitudes swept into the kingdom of God and of grace. And here's these people, they're gathered to wait for the Lord. They're filled with joy. The Lord hasn't even done anything yet. They receive Him gladly because He's come, because they know that'll deal with Jairus' home. The widow or the woman knows that'll deal with her situation. She just needs a touch from the Lord. And now He's come and they receive Him gladly. Are you waiting on Him, dear believer? Is it your daily cry, Lord, visit us? Dear backslider, is it your cry, Lord, come and visit me again? The Lord delights in you, backslider. You're still His. He loves you still. They're waiting. End it with joy. But in closing this meeting, we have saw here today their waiting was with expectancy. Their waiting was with desire. Their waiting was one accord. Their waiting ended in joy. But in closing this, I want to close it differently. I want to close it the way I closed this the last time, 2 months ago. Because there's two peoples here in this portion. Look at verse 37. Then the whole multitude of the Gadarenes round about besought Him to depart from them. For they were taken with great fear, and they went up into the ship and returned back again. That's one company. And then verse 40 says, and it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received Him, for they were all waiting for Him. The question is this. We're gathered here in God's house. The vicinity is different. We're not in Galilee, but the same Christ in view. The same Christ here. By His Spirit, the question is, and it comes to every one of us, there's none of us now can withdraw ourselves. It comes to every one of us. What company are you in? Because you're either in the company that wants Christ, or you're in the company that doesn't want Him. You're not in between. It was an unbelievable scene in verse 37. This whole congregation gathered and they didn't want Him. They longed for Him to leave and He left. There's a company gathered and they want Him and He comes. They wanted Him to leave and He left them, but He comes to this other. What one are you in? I'm sure in verse 37, angels gasped in horror. As they looked on at the Son of God being asked to leave an area, they gasped in horror because there were a people there who were sealing their eternal doom. They asked the Son of God to leave. Verse 40, they received the greatest blessing any man could. Christ comes. He visits them. The other ones, they lost the greatest blessing they ever had. They asked Him to leave. And I tell you, friend, when that boat pushed off from that shore, they lost all hope. Christ left them. Christ wouldn't be where He wasn't wanted, friend. Turn with me to Matthew 27. Every one of us need to look at this. Matthew 27. But dear unsaved, in this meeting, I want you to see this. Matthew 27, look at it with me. Matthew 27, verse 22, Pilate says, here's another gathered multitude, here's another gathered crowd, and Pilate says to him, verse 22, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let Him be crucified. It was Barabbas or Christ. Dear unsaved in this meeting this morning, it's heaven or it's hell. Don't drive Him away. Drive whoever you want away, but don't drive Christ away. Don't tell the Holy Ghost to depart and not speak to you. Because if the Holy Ghost never speaks to you again, my friend, you are damned. If you have a trouble in your soul, you thank God. Because that means you can be saved. If the Holy Ghost departs and never speaks to you, you have sealed your eternal doom. And you've sealed it now. What company are you in?
Look at verse 21 with me of Matthew 27. Look at verse 20 to get the saying. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Dear friend, do not be persuaded. Don't be influenced. Here's a people are influenced, persuaded, put away Christ. Dear sinner, dear backslider, who has influenced you and took you from Christ? Dear sinner, who's influencing you and keeping you from Him? Dear sinner, you're going to seal your eternal doom. This is the way we end it. That's the last time. That was the 18th of February. You're 2 months nearer it. 2 months nearer eternity. 2 months nearer eternal ruin. What company are you in? Are you in that company that want Him? Or are you in the company that asked Him to go away? They didn't want Him because they wanted their sin. Horrific scene. Savior, the Son of God, stood in the midst of them. In all His mercy and all His love, delivered two sinners right in their very midst. Nobody could argue. They'd seen lives changed. And they asked Him to go away. And He went away. And they sealed their eternal doom. Sinner, it's not the end of the world if people don't speak to you. But it's the end of all hope if God stops speaking to you. This is a fearful subject, but the Bible teaches it. My spirit shall not always strive with man. Oh, if you feel conviction, friend, you thank God from the bottom of your heart. But don't be presumptuous and presume on it. Because now is the accepted time. Now's the day of salvation. Here were a people waiting on the Lord with expectancy, with desire, with one accord. It all ended in rejoicing. The Lord came. But my dear friend, rejoicing in one shore, there was no rejoicing in the other shore because the Lord had left them. And in the eternal day, in those everlasting moments that will never cease, in one shore there'll be rejoicing. When the church is gathered home with the Christ who died for it, only a world of ordinary people like these people, a world of sinners. But I tell you, there'll be no rejoicing in the other destiny. Because in life they didn't want the Savior. And in death and eternity, they're now without Him. Sinner, Christ won't force His way in. It's time to repent, believe the gospel. It's time to come to Christ. Lest you grieve the Holy Ghost for a final time. And seal your eternal doom. Sinner, come to Him. Be saved this morning. Flee to the arms of a Savior's love. Wash in redeeming blood. Be clothed in the garments of salvation. And enter into the joy of the Lord. All that He's prepared for them that love Him. Then walk with Him by His grace all the days of your life. And then go to be with Him. Into your eternal home through Jesus Christ your Lord. Let us pray. If we can be of help to you,
It'd be my joy, or a member of session, or a Christian friend to speak with you. Make that need known. But above all, come to Christ. Maybe you've backslidden. Dear friend, in the heart right now, a call on the Lord. Once as prodigals, we wandered far from thee. Come back this morning. Repent. Believe the gospel. Come to him. Whatever your need, get to Christ. May God give you grace to come. Father in heaven, take thy word. Lord, come and visit us. Come and visit us, we beseech thee. Give us this expectancy in our souls for the Lord to come. Lord, remember the mission coming up. Remember the evening meeting. God, visit us. Forgive all our carnality. Forgive all our sins. And come and visit us in these days. And bless us with thy presence and thy power. Fill our hearts with joy. And glorify thy great name. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.